standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I am Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What a weird day in Houston sports yesterday. Good news, bad news, as this chick sings behind us. She's Mexican, by the way. Would have never guessed that.
Can confirm.
I went back and watched the whole video of this. It's not bad. Anyways, good news, bad news. I mean, I think there's like three items in Houston sports, and I think one of them is good. Like, the Astros beating the Rangers is obviously very good news.
It is good news.
That's massively good news. Three-game lead on the division. You have an outside chance to win the tiebreaker if you win the next two. Seems far-fetched. The bad news is the Texans lose, and what kind of fashion did they lose in? Depressing fashion, maybe, is the best word to use there.
I don't think it's devastating.
No, what a devastating loss. I think depressing. Depressing. Maybe like...
demoralizing?
Maybe limp. It would be another good way to use, maybe, to describe the feeling of that Texans game. And then, of course, Jordan runs through a stop sign and rolls his ankle on home plate. Don't let that guy do anything that could be dangerous. Proceed with caution when it comes to Jordan Alvarez.
So play baseball?
It's why the Jordan rules exist.
Yeah, but for him,
we
playing
need to
baseball
be
is dangerous.
Yes.
Like, he can't play baseball.
Like Tony Perestica, like you can see him like putting up the stop sign kind of late. Like he was waving him for a while, and then he threw up the stop sign as he was approaching third base with like 10 feet to go. A lot of people are like, oh, he put it up too late, you know. Moving object stays moving, all that science. Like, I don't think that he put it up too late. I think that he had time to stop. In fact, you can actually see him hesitate in the high catcher camera. Like, he actually hesitated. He could have stopped, but ran through it. I think, and look, was it a bad hold because he scored on the play? Like, yes, letter of the law, yes, but why was he doing that? Because he was trying to protect Jordan Alvarez. You don't want Jordan Alvarez diving in the outfield. You don't want Jordan Alvarez running into bang-bang plays at any base, in this case, last night, home plate. He might not slide when he needs to slide. I think Tony Perestica was trying to protect Jordan Alvarez from Jordan Alvarez.
Yeah, but it's just, what are you supposed to do? Like, he's...
Stop him!
I know, but...
It's a 1-0. Runners at second and third.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Get the second run, too.
No!
Like, it's... I understand.
Jordan protection is the most important thing.
Gosh, you gotta put him in bubble wrap, then.
I mean, he's
sliding on a base.
He wasn't sliding. That's the issue.
He slid away from the
home
base.
Plate was ice.
It was. Because I think Yiner slipped a little bit too. I think it was at one point in the game.
Really, I missed it.
But it's just, I don't know what you're supposed to do with him, because that's in any
just
situation,
him.
You send the runner.
It's Jordan.
I know, but he's also not listening.
No, he
doesn't
listen.
He doesn't want to be baby.
No.
He knows it's the right thing to do is to score there.
Yeah, I think he actually knows it too. Like, I think that's part of it. It's like he knows they're trying to like baby him and protect him, and I think that's why he's mad whenever he's like the DH only. He's like, no, I'm a baseball player. I should play left field. That's why he's stealing second base in a rehab game. That's why he's running through a stop sign at third base. It's because they know, he knows that they're trying to baby him, and Jordan doesn't want to be babied. He's not a little mijo to Tony Perestica and Joe Espada. And I think that's why he goes rogue. Does thing on his own.
And now you just have to hope that he plays baseball again this season.
I do think it's good news that it's an ankle and not a knee. Because he initially held his knee. It's like, okay, he's had double knee replacement. This injury-prone enigma. So, like, that worried me. But then watching it, you can tell that his ankle rolls. Now, the concern there is that it rolled pretty gnarly. Like, that's a lot of weight on that severe of an ankle sprain. And, look, I've had ankle sprains dozens of times in my life. I am an expert when it comes to ankle sprains.
Got bad ankles.
I do. I've sprained my ankle so bad that the impact of my fibula hitting the concrete broke my fibula. I know all about ankle. I'm a little top heavy. I'm built like an SUV. I know ankle sprains better than anybody. But hopefully it's just like, okay, it's a pretty good roll. It's going to hurt really bad in the moment. In a few days, he can, you know, start to walk on it a little bit more. It's better that it's an ankle than a knee, but yeah, you're holding your breath with any sort of news that comes out with Jordan. We'll be looking for it.
Well, right now, what we do know is there's currently team photos being taken at Daikin Park.
He's not there?
He's not there.
Yeah, he's getting his MRI, though.
He could have got it earlier in the day.
He's getting his MRI. He's right. The Rice method. Rest, ice, compression, elevation. If if you're taking team photos, you can't elevate the ankle. So he cares about rehabbing and making sure that he's fine.
Which is a good thing. But does it feel like he's going to play again this season without knowing anything?
My guess is yes. I think we see Yordan Alvarez again.
I think to your point that it's not a knee, it's an ankle.
And it rolled the right way.
It is positive.
It looks bad.
It looks awful. The photo looks really bad. When I was at the Texans game last night, there was like there was an audible groan that kind of happened in my section as everyone realized what had happened in the Astros game.
Yeah.
It was like during during a TV timeout, everyone realized they got the notification or they saw the photo. People were upset. But having to leave the game on crutches.
And in a boot.
And how hard it looked to get down the stairs, needing that help, that's not good. And this team, they cannot catch a break in any single way. It is unfortunate what is happening to the Astros.
Hopefully he's being a little dramatic and he'll be fine. It does look awful, though. I'm not going to lie. It looks really bad. It was weird watching those games at the same exact time because you had like weird like waves of emotion. Like C.J. Stroud tried to run a linebacker screen to Lavonte David. He tried to. And he had blockers in front. Lavonte David intercepts that pass. It was the best throw C.J. Stroud had all day. He hit Lavonte David between the numbers and he had blockers in front. Lavonte David did. That would have been a touchdown the other way. It would have been the second touchdown pass C.J. Stroud threw in that game yesterday. But the moment that happened, Zach Cole hit a two-run homer to give the Astros the lead. So it was like, it was weird. It's like, what in the world is C.J. Stroud doing? Yeah, home run! Give the Astros the lead!
And Zach Cole's
awesome. It was a weird way to digest Houston sports yesterday.
Yeah, look, it's that throw, I have to talk about it.
The screen to David?
Seeing that
the linebacker screen?
Seeing that in person, I just laughed. I could not believe my eyes of what happened on that throw because it's maybe one of the worst throws we've seen C.J. Stroud make in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, his rookie year, he only had, what, 5 picks? Like, none of them were really that bad. Last year, he had some ones he'd want back, but that throw, I mean.
What do you think happened there? Because, like, I posted the video of it because, you know, I like to farm engagement at Jeremy Brennan on Twitter, at Jeremy J. Brennan on TikTok. Instagram, I'm there, too, but I never use it. I forgot what my Instagram handle is. Don't ask me to be my friend on Facebook. That's weird. I don't know what he was trying to do. I think he was trying to hit Nico and realized, oh boy, this is not a good idea. And he tried to stop, and then it just didn't happen.
The ball just flew out of his hand.
He hit Lavonte David between the numbers on what should have been a very easy pick six.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's what happened.
If Lavonte David thought there was any chance that ball was coming towards him, he probably would have caught it. But he was obviously caught off guard.
Yeah.
By that thing coming right at his chest.
It's probably the easiest chance for an interception he's had in his NFL career.
Maybe in his life.
Like it was not even like there was zero velo on it either. Like it was like one of those comebackers that sometimes pitchers like they think it's coming back harder than it actually is and they mistime it, you know, like a little one hopper that wasn't hit as hard as they thought. That's kind of the way it was. That was a weird play. But Texans fall to 0-2. They're now 2 games back in the division, by the way. They trail the Colts by 2 games, which is like, okay, that Colts offense is actually pretty good. That Colts offense is like top 3 in every single offensive metric. I don't think they've punted once this year, the Colts.
They have not.
How stupid is that?
They scored on 14 of their 17 possessions.
They're ridiculous. I found a stat today, which is like score percentage, which is how many possessions end in a score. And the Colts are like 98%.
They're cooking right now.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, he's finally arrived.
The Texans, meanwhile, are averaging 1.5 per possession.
The offense is dreadful. It is. There's some moments from last night, the first drive of the game, that throw to Nico Collins, his actual best throw of the game.
Yeah, it was a good throw. Yeah.
There's the touchdown that happens at the end of the game to get the lead, like positive. But then there's any positive, for one positive thing, I think there's 3 negative things that are way worse with what happened in last night's game on the offense side. And frankly, I would say the same thing about the defense. For every one good thing that happened on defense, there's 3 things that bad things that happened on defense last night. It was an ugly, ugly football game. And honestly, I know it was a 1-point game. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel that close. I mean, the time of possession was like a 10-minute difference. The Buccaneers were doing pretty much whatever they wanted to in the run game. Bucky Irving looked like he was going to be the best running back in the NFL last night. He
looked really good.
He looked really good. And the Texans just 0-2 now, chasing up and looking at the Colts. And this part of your schedule these next 2 weeks is not easy, but you can't be like 1-4 going into the bye week.
I disagree. Like, this is the easiest 2 week span they have all year.
No, I know, but I'm saying you have to win the next 2 games.
You have to win the next 2 games.
Because if you win one of them and you're not beating Baltimore,
you're 1-4.
Zero chance. 1-4 going into the bye?
You're 1-4.
You can't recover from that.
Did you see the snap discrepancy from the game?
Yep.
The Bucs ran 80 plays. The Texans ran 49. That's egregious.
Because they were getting 4, 5, 6 yards every single carry, whether it was from Irving early, Rashad White comes on late in the second half, and Baker was just moving the chains. They weren't scoring a bunch in that game. Mm-hmm. The doink helped, obviously. But they just had control the whole time. And the Texans go, you know, 3, 4, 5 plays. They're off the field. The Buccaneers felt like they were out there for 12 plays.
Yeah. What's your biggest takeaway from the loss? Like, what is the lasting image you have? Like, where they're currently won the game. And then, two, also, like, their current lot in life in the NFL.
I can't believe everything that happened on the one-yard line. The second down play, the third down play, the fourth down play. It was all of it was bad. And for different reasons. Running it at Vita Vea makes no sense.
No sense.
Nico Collins is open. He gets the double move. That's right in front of my seats. He is wide open.
Flex. Listen to that. Okay. Like, I was in the lower bowl last night. About you?
Time out.
You were watching on TV.
My dad's
seats. Was in the lower bowl. Oh,
they're my dad's seats.
My dad comes for money.
My dad's a teacher at Texas City High School.
You know, teachers are like one of the five professions that have $1 million in savings. They say that they're like very structured and disciplined, and that teachers are millionaires like more often than like doctors, because doctors like live a life of like elegance and luxury.
Yeah,
and lawyers too.
What are we?
Maybe not doctors. Maybe it was lawyers. Oh, we don't sniff that kind of money. No.
But Nico's wide open. CJ misses the throw, and then the
so did you like the play call there?
The third down play,
the one to Nico.
Yeah,
because it was there. I don't think it was a terrible throw, because like, Stroud has to put that where only Nico can catch it.
And I expect CJ to make it.
It did hit Nico in the hands. Yeah. I don't know if I like the play call. Like, I like the design there, and yes, if it's, you know, a better throw, better catch, it's a touchdown. I don't love running that at the one. Like, I feel like there should be a little bit of runway there, a little bit of space. Like, I like that more at the 8. You know what I mean?
I like it better than the fourth down play call.
No doubt.
And I like it better than the second down play call. I mean, and moving guys to your left and then rolling everything out to the left, in which CJ, again, has to make a pinpoint accurate throw, which he could have made.
Yeah.
He just didn't. But I didn't like the play call. Like, that drive, the way it ended, encapsulates everything that's gone wrong with the Houston Texans so far this season and last season. That you have 1 yard to gain. You have Nick Chubb. That, like, that's what he's on this roster for. And you can't get a yard.
No, that kind of was very symbolic to that game yesterday. I don't disagree. My main takeaway is that, like, man, they're playing really bad. Like, they're playing some really bad football in all three phases. Like, I thought the defense was all right yesterday. Did they have flaws? Yes. They couldn't stop the running game. Obviously, that critical last series, bad. But if you get a stop there, like, you feel okay with where the defense was yesterday. But you didn't. It was the timeliness was not good. Offensively, they're in the conversation. They're in the conversation for the worst offense in the NFL. And they shouldn't be. Their lack of skill is alarming, quite frankly. Like, outside of Nico Collins, do they have another – and Stroud. Do they have – and maybe include Stroud. But outside of Stroud and Nico Collins, do they currently right now, or anybody who had a snap in yesterday's game, do they have one single other person that is above average relative to their position in the NFL? No. Nick Chubb is not average in the NFL anymore. Justin Watson was going to play more snaps than Jayden Higgins until he got hurt. He's not above average. He's been a journeyman in the NFL. They're telling us that Jayden Higgins isn't above average because he can't play more than Justin Watson. He wouldn't have if Watson didn't get hurt. They're telling us that Noel is below Watson in the pecking order when it comes to a receiver. He had a good game in the return game. But there's Schultz. Do we think Schultz is an average tight end?
Absolutely
not. They don't have one skill position player outside of the Stroud-Nico connection, and maybe some would include C.J. Stroud, that is above average at their position on that entire offense. Not one. And maybe they'll get – Kirk's supposed to play this week. I would say he's above average, but not like – he's closer to average than good.
Yeah, I mean, he was above average his first year in Jacksonville, but it hasn't been great the last 2 years. We'll see what it looks like in Houston coming off another injury, which he's always injured. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the issues with the move when you made it and got him from Jacksonville, is you knew that this was going to happen. Unfortunately, it's been the first two games of the season. I think Higgins could be, but he's not on the field.
But he's not right now. That's the point. Like, yeah. Right now he's not.
Is not that he isn't right now. He's not being given the chance.
No, no doubt.
Like, there's no way you can tell me that Jayden Higgins is not a better football player than Justin Watson.
They're
why
telling you he's not.
I don't know. This feels very like Bill O'Brien-y, where it's just like, don't play the rookies. Woody Marks is better than that bum, Dario Gumbawale. Like,
nice.
He got blown up by a cornerback.
Still not nice. Call him a bum.
That very poor blocker, Dario Gumbawale. Like, where is Woody Marks? I don't, like, they don't want to play these young guys. And even if they're telling you that that they shouldn't be out there right now because Watson is better, then that says to me more about the pick evaluation. I'm not giving up on Higgins or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when you take a player in the second round, they should be playing over a guy who is a journeyman wide receiver at this point and has never shown any signs, whether it's here or what, in Kansas City, of being a dude or a contributor to your team, to a team in the NFL. But yeah, they're below average on offense everywhere. They have the lowest amount of points scored in the NFL this season. They're only 1 point behind the Las Vegas Raiders. They've scored 28 points as a team.
It's not very good. And I think that they would tell you, like, Watson knows where to be, and, you know, Higgins and Noel don't. Well, wasn't that Nick Haley, like, telling us in the offseason that he's going to cater his offense around, like, his talent and his players? Like, if Watson knows what they're doing, he knows what he's doing, and Higgins and Noel don't, and we're just assuming that they don't because they're not playing. It seems like a convenient excuse. Well, that's on Kaylee. Like, get your talent on the football field. It's Xavier Hutchinson, which, whatever, fine. He had 28 snaps yesterday. Jaden Higgins had 21. You drafted Higgins in the second round. If Xavier Hutchinson, you told me Xavier Hutchinson was going to play more than Jaden Higgins, I wouldn't have wanted a receiver early in the second round. Watson would have played more snaps than Higgins, too, if he didn't leave the game with a knock. But even leaving the game with a knock, he still played more snaps than Noel. Mm-hmm. Watson 20, Noel 15. So I agree with you. That's incredibly annoying. Like, cater your offense to get your dudes on the field, your talent on the field. Another thing that annoys me, and you touched it, was Woody Marks. And I wonder if they do make a change here next week, because why wouldn't you? Like, Woody Marks was better in pass protection than Dare. That's why they're telling us Dare plays third downs. Well, that wasn't the case yesterday. Dare's getting bulldozed by a corner. Woody Marks is diving to make a play on, like, a linebacker. And look, I'm not comparing Woody Marks to Bucky Irving. I'm not saying Woody Marks is in the same league as Bucky Irving. But do you know where Woody Marks was drafted? He was drafted in the fourth round, including a third rounder that you used to trade up for Woody Marks. Do you know where Bucky Irving was drafted in last year's NFL draft? He was drafted in the fourth round. And again, I'm not saying Woody Marks is the player that Bucky Irving is, and I'm not saying he's ever going to be. But Bucky Irving, fourth round running back, had 18 touches through two games last year. You want to guess how many touches Woody Marks has, who you used a third with your fourth this year to trade up for? Seven. Seven. Play your dude. 713-780-3776. Lots to get to. Feels like a natural time to talk about C.J. Stroud. What do we think of C.J. Stroud's performance? Already got a text already saying, is it too early to say C.J. Stroud is not the quarterback the Texans need? There you go. Texters are great. They know what they're talking about. That's the segue. 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on the Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Hey, Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart has more than a half a billion items online. You can find a huge selection of items online that you can't find in stores. And who knew? Unlike other grocery stores, Walmart grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in the store. That's awesome. We all know what it's like to order something online from anywhere you can get it, and it's way more expensive. That's not like that at Walmart. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. And you can get Walmart delivered in as fast as an hour. Fees and terms apply. Learn more at walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, it's Jeremy and Joe. AJ's here too, my bad, AJ, I forgot. I was flustered. Texans had me feeling some kind of way.
It's not a good way.
Kind of way. No, I've been disappointed with them. I mean, it is what it is, as they say. Astros lineup is out. No Yordan, as you might expect. He's doing the Rice thing. Peña, Correa, Altuve, Walker, Cole, Myers, Caratini, Yaina, and Jesus Sanchez. I kind of like Jesus Sanchez betting ninth. He can, because he can change a game, ability to, doesn't do it very often. But you bet him ninth, it's like, okay, well, you don't have pressure. Like, you get anything from the nine hole, it feels good. And he has, like, game-changing ability. Doesn't do it often, but is capable. So that is the Astros lineup tonight against Merrill Kelly, who destroyed them the last time they faced. A.J. Bluba gets the start for the Stros. So see how it goes. Critical. Critical series for the Stros. One game, one yesterday. We'll talk about that a lot later. 713-780-3776. So the texter asking us, CJ Stroud, et cetera, et cetera. Is it too early to say he's not the quarterback the Texans need? Where do you land there?
I think it's too soon, but if you want to ask the question, I understand why. I would have fought that question last year. I would have said it's stupid. It's too early to ask that. I think the way that they've played through all of last season and two games into the season, it's totally fair to ask that question. It's fair to be concerned about giving CJ Stroud $60 million right now. Mm-hmm. I think there's still something there. Like that first drive, that throw to Nico Collins for the touchdown was so incredible. And it was a great play by Nico, too. But it was the perfect throw in that situation. But then later in the game, he's missing guys that are wide open. Again, the Lavonte David play is, I just watched it again on your Twitter account, at Jeremy Branham. Awful. It was awful. And there is reason to be concerned. But you have a first-time play caller, again. You have an offensive line that has never been fixed in the Nick Caserio tenure at any point. It's not just a one-year fix. He's been here for how long now? 5 years at this point, and it's never gotten better. So there are things that are going around him that are wrong. But at the same time, it's fair to question if it's going to turn a corner at this point with the way he's playing.
Yeah, it's kind of maddening to me because he still shows flashes of like, dang, there it is. There's the C.J. Stroud in his rookie year. And then he'll have flashes where it's like, oh, man, I'm not sure how you can win with this guy. And look, quarterback production is dependent of so many different variables. It's dependent on the quarterback. It's dependent on the skill around you. It's dependent to the protection. It's dependent to the play caller, calling plays in the right appropriate times, being good at that job, having an idea of what the defense is going to do. The quarterback checking out of stuff, which, you know, they said C.J. Stroud was going to be doing more of that. I didn't see a whole lot of checking going on yesterday.
I don't really know what we were seeing there.
I think they might have stripped him of that duty. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know they said he was going to have more control this year. And there's a couple moments where you can see CJ's clearly at the line of scrimmage telling people where to go and that things are – well, I don't even know if he's changing plays or if he's just telling them where to go. But like the whole operation, and that's where I don't know if it's too early to make a definitive statement on if CJ Stroud is just this guy. Because there's too often we're still – they're getting to the line of scrimmage with 10 seconds left. So even if he wanted to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage, there's not enough time on the clock to make them. They can't get a play calling quickly. That was very evident in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it just, the operation of this football team is slow, and that's on CJ, that's on Nick Caley. That's a whole company problem for the Houston Texans right now.
Texture says S2 Score Company deserves apologies. We're not doing that. 713-780-3776. I thought that it was a tell of two halves yesterday. This texter says, are we still not allowing CJ to change plays? Why is Nico running 40 yards downfield in an obvious zero blitz? I don't know. Did they strip him of those duties? No clue. They wouldn't tell you if they did. They're not going to sit there and go into their logistics. So it's kind of up to you to make that interpretation. I think that a bigger problem would be if he does have that responsibility in coverage and he can't recognize it pre-snap, which is difficult to do. Defenses disguise it. And, you know, you have a coach on the other side who's very good at doing that sort of thing. But I also think he's really bad at disguising defenses post-snap. Like, the best elite quarterbacks that have ever existed, what are they really good at immediately after the snap? Having an idea of what that defense is doing. And they're not going to be perfect, but they're better at it than the rest. And they know immediately, okay, I know they're in a cover zero. I know they're bringing a cover zero blitz. I know they're shell coverage, blah, 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 blah. All the different coverages. I'm worried that Stroud is struggling at reading defenses, not only pre-snap, because they can disguise, but post-snap.
It's a valid concern. And I think that the other part that I think goes along with that is also the protection issues that are happening in front of him, is especially as the game went on yesterday, it felt like he had less and less confidence about what was happening in front of him. Early, it looked confident. Again, it was tail two halves, like you said. But as the game wore on and the protection issues really started to become a problem, that's when it seemed like recognizing what was also happening in front of you. So I don't know if that's good halftime adjustments. That's just your offensive line wearing down. But it just – the issues seem just to compound in the second half.
Like first few series, he was playing really well. Like he was really good in his first two, three series. Watching the game back today, the condensed game that they do on NFL.com, he started off like 6 of 8 for like nearly 100 yards. He had the touchdown, obviously, to Nico. It's like, okay, all right. And then the way he finished was the polar opposite, which last year with Bobby Slowick, what were they really good at? They were really good at like, okay, this is our game plan. Maybe they're scripting out certain series. I wouldn't say that they're scripting out multiple series, but they're scripting out at least one, maybe even your first 10 plays, 15 plays, however they did it. Yesterday kind of looked like a Bobby Slowick game where it's, okay, they look good early, and then as soon as an adjustment is made or you get punched back or the other team has the counterpunch, you're toast. You're done. You're a zero. You're a ghost the rest of the way. That was alarming, quite frankly. I thought he played really well first quarter and a half. After that was quite frankly abysmal. It was very, very bad. Lamont was giving me grief yesterday on Twitter for saying last week I said that I would take Stroud over Baker Mayfield. What an idiot. What an idiot. Whoever was saying that last week, what an idiot. Although I do wonder, yeah, you were on the Baker side of that. You look like a smart guy.
For one day.
You look like a smart guy.
I'll be honest, the texter brought this up for as good as that take was so far after one game. The Caleb Johnson stuff is making me look so bad right now.
Yeah, you're already on Bad Take Boulevard for that. We'll get to that.
Fair.
Thursday or Friday. No, if watching that game yesterday, and look, I think that 2 years ago, I'm still picking Stroud. Like, if you give me 2 years ago, 2023, CJ Stroud halfway through that year versus Baker Mayfield, how could you not pick Stroud? But the way it's been the last couple of years, Baker playing at a high level, 40-something touchdowns last year, Stroud regression for whatever reason, whether we're blaming Stroud, whether we're blaming Slowick, Kaylee, offensive line, skill players, whatever the reason. Baker Mayfield's the better quarterback.
But the thing is, and even if you want to compare and contrast the two, okay, Baker Mayfield is on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Now, some of the schematic stuff has stayed the same. He's had an elite wide receiver, just like CJ has had between Mike Evans and him. Chris Godwin has been on the field as much as he has been off the field. He hasn't really had a tight end option. And last night, gosh, Charlie Hexter got a lot better since he left Houston. I mean, it wasn't perfect all day, but man, he was holding his own against the Texans' defensive line. Like, a lot of the issues that the Texans have, the Buccaneers also are facing either last night or at times, and Baker is just having more success in that.
Yeah.
Right now. And that can be a lot of things. That can be an organizational philosophy and the guys you're hiring to run your offenses, all the moves that you're deciding to make are just blowing up in your face, and theirs are having, you know, success pretty consistently, it seems like. But even I know that the draft rounds are very different, but even just look at, you know, the confidence that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have in Abuka versus the Texans have in Higgins. And again, there's a round difference there. There's a talent difference.
Yeah, but you say round. It wasn't a great divide in where they were selected, though. Because Igbuka was like, what, high teens?
19th.
19th. And Higgins was, what, 30-something? Yeah. So that's not a huge gap. Like you say a round. That's more of a half a round.
Yeah. And I don't know where the Texans really go from here because I expected to see problems this season. Like, no one should have expected this to come out here and be humming best offense in the NFL. But the issues you're having this year are just replica of last year. And it really just feels like I saw someone tweet out a Scooby-Doo meme where it was D'Amico Ryan's lifting off the mask of the villain, and under Nick Haley's mask, it was Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
Like, it literally feels that way.
No, I thought that there would be struggles early. I just didn't think that they would have the worst offense in the NFL, and I didn't think we'd be having a C.J. Stroud the right guy for the job conversations after 2 weeks. The struggles are greater than I could have ever imagined. Because, like, I agree with you. Like, first-year OC, complicated offense. Stroud's doing something in the NFL he's never done before. Didn't know about the injury to Christian Kirk, which does play a factor. Like, Christian Kirk's vital in this offense. You thought that Jalen Noel would be able to carry the water while he was gone. Maybe that was asking too much of a rookie in a critical position. But I didn't expect it to be this bad.
And at some point, like, CJ just has to be, like, if you want to put him in that elite level conversation again at any point in his career, at some point he has to be able to overcome some of this stuff. And it's not just all on CJ. Like, it is an organizational failure of what's happening with this offense. But at some point, like, You do need C.J. Stroud to be able to help figure out the answers to the test and find a way to get this offense moving down the field a couple times a game.
You know where he really annoyed me yesterday, too? Like, and he didn't play well. And I understand there was pressure in his face immediately. How are you taking a sack on a two-point conversion? How you doing that? Like, I understand the pressure's there as soon as you take the snap. You got to just toss it up to Nico, man. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, the play's blown up. You got to give your guy a shot. Noel might have been open there, too. But, hey, I missed him because of pressure. You can't take a sack there. You can't take a sack on a two-point conversion. You can't take a sack on a fourth down. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I get it. Pressure was in your face the moment you looked up. Heave it up. Toss it in the air. Baker Mayfield in his two-point conversion at the end of the game, and look, he didn't really give his receiver a chance because he just threw it to the middle of the end zone. He was wrapped up and was able to get rid of it.
Yeah, he's got to get rid of the ball.
You have Nico. Just, hey, here you go. Jump ball for Nico. Like, and maybe this is part of the issue. You should have a plan for a dude being in your face the moment you look up every single time. And maybe this is part of Nick Cayley. But a quarterback should have a plan for worst-case scenario every single play.
Especially when he does face worst-case scenario.
And if that's not in his head and it's not on the OC's head, then that's incompetent. You should have a plan for worst-case scenario. 713-780-3776. How would you evaluate Stroud's performance? Let's get into the Nick Cayley conversation of this as well. Willie will take you on the other side. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Pete says that Stroud's still trying to adjust to new offensive coordinator and offensive line changes. 0-2 start, not where you want the Texans to beat him, but no reason to start questioning if he's the right guy. I agree. I think it's too early to start questioning if he's the right guy. Like, you need to see how it goes. Really, you have the entire year to see how it goes, because he's eligible for a contract extension, of course, in the offseason. You're not making any decisions until then, and, like, you're not benching him.
No, you're not
benching it. Somebody texted that. I'd rather see Davis Mills. I know they won't do it, but no. I'd rather see Davis Mills. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't rather see Davis Mills.
There's no part of last night's game that Davis Mills can do anything of what CJ did.
No, you don't mean that. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Willie, what's up, Willie?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Always.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big CJ guy. I called a couple of times about him, you know, not being able to read defenses or the offense coordinator not having the confidence in him to change the plays or anything. Yeah. They change plays in high school, you know, and no one ever talks about him missing wide open receivers like 34% of the time last year with a clean pocket and a wide open receiver. They always make excuses for him, just like they do for Jeremy and all those errors.
Oh, they're about to say Jeremy and all my errors. He meant Payne.
I was like, we do make a lot of excuses.
Willie's got a good eye for the game, though. I respect everything he says. 713-780-3776. Willie's blind. Did you know that? I think you should know that now that you're going to be doing this show.
I think I remember that from when I was producing the show.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that. I don't think I don't really know this. I think he's like legally blind, but he can still see.
I mean, if you're talking about reading defenses, I would assume you can see a little
bit. Yeah, but there was one time he called in and the reason that we found out that he was blind is because he called in and he said that an obvious right-handed pitcher was left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, really? He's left-handed. He's like, oh, well, I'm blind.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So I think he's like legally blind, like illegal to drive, but I think he can. But he listens to the radio, so I don't really know.
I mean, hey, then it depends on how good rock and roll is.
I don't know how it's true how descriptive he is. I don't know how blind Willie is. I know that he's blind. Okay. I don't know how blind.
Gotcha.
It's not like pregnancy, you know. Like pregnancy, you're pregnant or you're not.
That's true.
Blind. There are levels to this. There are levels to blindness. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, there's levels to it. So I don't know his level.
Like
of
Daredevil's not really blind.
I didn't know he was blind.
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
Titan abilities.
Yep.
I have no idea what you are talking about right now.
I know you did. That's why I brought it up.
Is that a movie?
It's a comic book character.
Oh, yeah. No clue.
I know.
I was like, I know. I was like, Evel Knievel? Like, is that what
once,
you meant?
Once upon a time, Ben Affleck was Daredevil. Oh, like really? The early 2000s, yeah.
So it was terrible, the movie.
That one was terrible, yes. Yeah, the newer versions are better, but the original ones
No,
were.
Ben Affleck's been in some decent movies. I mean, obviously, Good Will Hunting. What's the one where they, like, take a news crew or, like, a journalist crew over to, like, some, like, war-fought country? Arlo? Is it Arlo?
Fargo?
No, it's not Fargo. I think,
no,
it, might
Arlo.
Be, I think
Arlo.
It is Arlo. Yeah. Yeah. Arlo is very good. Arlo might have won a best film, actually. Anyway, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Jeff, you're in with the Jays. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I stepped away for a minute, so I don't know if you responded to my text, but I'm just trying to figure out, man, when Nico got him down just over the one, it was second and goal from the one. I know we haven't been putting the ball great, but you know, I think CJ 6-3. Why would you not do a quarterback sneak three times in a row, or at least not go back in the shotgun 7 yards deep and hand the ball off laterally? I just don't understand that. Then you're talking about you got to try to complete a pass, so you're dropping. There's no room to move. I mean, I don't, you know, and they're on him. It's not like he's got all day long to pass the ball. He knows he's under pressure. He knows he's got to get rid of it, and they're on the one. Why would you even think about throwing the ball? Am I missing something?
No,
and I think, Jeff, I think to your point, that's why we don't, the play calling was all bad. Like, I probably wouldn't do three tush pushes, but one would be fine. One Nick Chubb run, one tush push, and one pass. If you go 0 for 3, if that's your sequence in some particular order, like, I'm fine with that. And that's where the blame for CJ, like CJ gets is getting the attention because he's the quarterback of the Houston Texans. Not all the problems are his fault. And it's not even close to being all on CJ. And I think, yeah, I would like to see some kind of quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I didn't like that sequence. Try it. I wonder if they don't want Stroud sneaking there. They did sneak in week one on like a 4th and 1. I think it was like the only time I've seen Stroud check out of a play, though, because he did the whole like helmet, tap his helmet. Like, you know, quarterbacks do when they check out of plays. That was the only play I saw CJ Stroud in 2 weeks do what I think is checking out of a play. And he checked into a sneak. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, usually when you're checking into a play, it's like option B. So I wonder if they don't want him doing that, because it can be a pretty dangerous play for a quarterback. Not that I'm saying that they shouldn't have done it. No, I didn't like that sequence of event either. That was a very, very bad look for Nick Haley, and what has been a very, very bad look for Nick Haley so far 2 weeks into the year. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Israel, you're in with the J team.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey. CJ, I'm going to give it up to Baker on his 14, 30 years old, 2 playoff wins.
Yeah.
CJ, 23 years old, same amount of playoff wins. Look, CJ, they used to play a lot of more preseason games. All right, he's a little rusty. You know, I mean, he made some bad throws. He could have, but he had his team in position to win. But he lost the game. They scored the touchdown, 3 minutes left, and they drove the field. They let Rusty Mayfield drive the field to go down the field and score the touchdown. The D gave it up yesterday. And just like the first game, he had his team in position to win. That's all you need from a 23-year-old. That's all you need, bro. He's doing his job. And he's going to be here, and he's going to get that bag.
Israel, would you rather have Baker or Stroud?
Man, I don't want no 30-year-old Baker who played for 14. I'm thinking 23-year-old.
What if you had to win one game? One game this Sunday, your life is on the line. One game. One game. One game? One game, life on the line, you're going Stroud over Baker? He hung up. He doesn't like when I ask
questions. Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, this just feels gross. I don't totally disagree with him.
If you're going long-term, I'm still taking
Stroud. No, but like CJ did in the last 2 weeks, like he got them down the field versus the Rams, and Dari fumbled. He got them the lead back in this game. The defense gave it up. Like, he didn't check all the boxes.
I mean, Jalen Knowles' punt return got him there.
No, and
I'm
a
not
block
even,
punt.
I don't think they got a first down after the Jalen Knowles punt return and had to settle for a field goal. And there is, like, they did get the Nick Chubb touchdown. And they got the Nick Chubb touchdown. There is some chatter, and I went back and listened to every single Tampa Bay sound I could find. There's some chatter that Tampa Bay let Nick Chubb score on purpose in that spot, which we can discuss later. 713-780-3776. Texter, Bucks have a better offensive scheme line and deeper wide receiver core. Not a Texan fan, so I'm not homering. I don't disagree. I think their offensive scheme is better. Their line, which lacked both of their tackles, Wirfs didn't start the game. The Gadicki guy was questionable, tried to play. Obviously, that didn't go well. Charlie Heck, who is a Texan castoff, was, that offensive line looked better than the Texans' offensive line without their starting tackles and with a Texans castoff, which is not a great look for the Texans' offensive coaching staff. It is a terrible look.
It's also not a great look for your defensive line.
I mean, they were creating some pressure, but they were getting run on. They were getting ran on. That's what you're looking at. A deeper wide receiver core, no issue there. I mean, you got Evans. I think Nico's better than Evans, but they're kind of a wash, slightly.
Yeah, but, like, is there really a gap between Sterling Shepard and...
Well, I mean, you're just totally glossing over Emeka Egbuka.
Well, we already talked about Egbuka. I mean...
Their receiving core is Mike Evans, Egbuka, Godwin's hurt, so you can't go Kirk because I can throw you to Godwin. So if you're just going guys who were available yesterday, then you go Evans, you go Egbuka, you go Sterling Shepard. If you're the Texans, they're going Nico Collins, Xavier Hutchinson, and Justin Watson.
That's bad.
I mean, Higgins was in there as well.
There's a gap.
There's a gap there. All right, 713-780-3776. We get to the Kaylee side of this. People want to weigh in on Stroud. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You know, whenever you're down with your pro football team, you know what a great thing to do is? Buy a car. And if you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Why can you trust them? Well, they're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. And they also have better ideas with 1 yard to go at the goal line. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, and you feel it. It's palpable. The moment you step in the showroom, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people. The culture's fantastic. I know you haven't loved your dealership experience, whether it's the car buying process, whether it's the warranty process, whether it's the service process. None of that is true at Monument Chevrolet. It's why they're great. They're good across the board. You're going to love it, and you're going to have your dealership for your entire life. The vehicle of the week. How about the 25 Silverado 1500, huh? The 26 model is out, which means that you can get a great deal right now on the 25 Silverado 1500. That's what the sharp shoppers are looking for right now. And by the way, they're offering Monument Chevrolet deep discounts plus 2.9% financing for 72 months on the 25 Silverado 1500s. Who knew that interest rates were that low? They are at Monument Chevrolet with the Silverado 1500. While everyone's rushing for the latest model, you can save big by purchasing the 25 model. Also, if you're thinking about going electric, now's the time to do so. That $7,500 tax credit, about to be gone. You got to do it before September 30th. You got 2 weeks. So get a fair deal, a fast deal, and an easy deal. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Now's the time to upgrade your ride at Monument Chevrolet. Visit them online for their entire inventory, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or stop by, visit them in person. They'd love to see you. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. Baker is a dog. I take him any day of the week. He can actually make a decision, but that comes with experience. Sometimes. As long as the Texans don't have a run game defense, just has to play pass every down. OC sucks. Hadn't been a great look for Nick Kaley first 2 weeks. Israel spamming the text line saying, no way you're taking that old man Baker Mayfield over CJ Stroud. It was Argo. The Ben Affleck movie, not Arlo.
Close.
I feel like Arlo is something that I'm supposed to know. But yeah, I mean, 3 out of 4, like you said.
Yeah, we got 3 of the 4 letters. What else do you want from us?
Get you into the Hall of Fame.
This is a sports show, not a movie show.
Yeah. Plus, we're not right very much. I think Stroud is the right guy, but I don't think the coaching staff is good enough to help him get there.
That's a problem.
So I was listening to the Bowles presser. I can't remember if it was last night after the game or his Monday presser today. And they, like, somebody asked him, like, oh, you know, what was it like playing a Rams-style offense back-to-back weeks? Because Falcons OC came from McVay, too. And he's like, oh, this isn't the Rams offense. This is the Patriots. This is the Patriots offense, which is like, okay. Okay. That's not – and we knew that, like, after watching this for a couple of weeks. We didn't know that when he was hired. I don't want to want a Patriots offense. I'm not a big fan of running a Patriots offense. Like, it worked for Brady, and that's, like, it.
Mm-hmm. And I really don't understand the hire. Still, I don't get it. I don't get why he's here.
I mean, I think he was boys with Casario.
I think so. I mean, I get that. But, like, I just think, you know, D'Amico, as the head coach, should be making these decisions about what's best for his roster, not Nick Casario.
That's the thing, like, you know, D'Amico, where you at with him, all that. D'Amico deserves criticism for putting together his offensive staff. Like, part of being a really good coach, head coach, is to hire really good people around you on your staff. And look, I don't care how you get there. I don't care if you're asking for input from people that you know, people that you trust. I don't care if you're asking Nick Casario for input, but you better be right. No. I don't care if he asks. If Casario was like, yeah, you can, you know, this is who I suggest, and the guy that you suggest, the best offensive coordinator in the NFL, awesome, fantastic.
I'm wondering if how much say D'Amico had.
I think that.
I guess I'm trying. I don't want to like absolve him.
Uh-huh.
But it's a Patriots guy with a Patriots offensive line coach. And there's no connection to D'Amico. There's no reason for those guys to be like D'Amico's coaches should have come from logically the Houston Texans, Philadelphia Eagles, or San Francisco 49ers.
The first one did. It didn't work. And that's why Casario had say on the second.
Exactly. And I think so. That's why I can't lose patience with the offense and look at D'Amico until we know more. But like it just it looks like a Casario straight up hire.
Yeah, but it falls on the coach.
It does.
The coaches on the coach's staff falls on the coach.
Yeah, but D'Amico's not the one that's going to get fired for this. So
probably not.
It's going to be Casario. D'Amico is beloved. There is no way. And we watch this organization time and time again. They go back and forth with power struggles.
For sure.
And
D'Amico, I think it's too early to have this conversation, quite frankly.
You think it's too early to wonder about Nick Casario on the hot seat?
Yeah. Absolutely, yes. He was part of an organization that had 11 wins in 3 years and then won back-to-back division titles. I think an 0-2 start is way too soon about talking about a hot seat for Casario. I don't disagree that Casario would get got before D'Amico. I agree with that. But I don't think we're anywhere close to that conversation.
Yeah, look, they started 0-2 CJ's rookie year. Now the stats are much better for CJ in those two games, and obviously we know how that season went. If someone's going to get the blame this year, if this is a trend of how the season's going to go, and Nick Casario is the one that should get the blame, because the reason why the Texans offense can't succeed is because of Nick Casario. It's because since he got hired here, they have not had a competent offensive line. This is not from last year to this year. It's been since he got here when Deshaun Watson was the quarterback. He's had a chance to draft and develop offensive linemen. He has failed to do so. He has had a chance to bring in multiple wide receivers, multiple running backs, multiple skill position players on the defensive side. Like, if there are limitations with the Texans this year, it's Nick Casario's fault. I don't think it's CJ's. I think CJ, I think he's going to figure it out eventually and be more consistent, but like...
You said receivers. Like, Casario has a pretty good track record of bringing in receivers. Like, the Mixon signing was a good one. Defensive players... Yeah, their defense is really good with
a bunch of good defense.
Yeah, so like, how is that a criticism of Casario? Like, what you said about the offensive line is 100% true. But I guess the argument here is how close is Casario to a seat being warm? I don't think it's close. Now, would his get warmer before D'Amico's? Yes, of course. But I don't think we're anywhere close to that conversation.
What does get us close?
7-10, missed the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah. The reason why I even bring it up is,
and I still don't think that gets them.
That's what I feel like we're headed towards.
Okay,
I hope I'm wrong. It's been.
I'm not sure that you do. I think you're rooting for disaster.
No, I like talking about good football teams. I need someone in my life to be competent, and I'm relying on the Houston Texans to do that for me this year, Jeremy. They're my only hope.
Rocky says, I told y'all the other day Kaylee was going to get Casario fired, and you said I was off bad. But look there. Georgie agrees. We'll see. Woods for $10 million, Diggs for a second, and $25 million, Schultz for 12. Miko is the reason the defense is good. That's a good argument against Nick Caserio. It's a lot of money for Woods. I never liked the Diggs trade. I'll be honest there.
Agreed.
You trade a guy, and then you immediately redid his deal where he could have left after a year. That was weird. I think it was an effort to make Diggs happy. I think that he overreacted to missing out on Saquon. It's like, we need an offensive weapon. We're going to try hard for Saquon. Oh, he's going to Philly. Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs are my plan B.
And Mixon was great. They got him for what, a seventh round pick?
That was a good, yeah.
That was a great move.
That's when you should be bringing in veterans, is whenever you can get them for a late round pick swap. Yeah. I don't think you should bring in a veteran. And look, I think Diggs was obviously off to a very good start. But even if he finished the rest of the year playing that well, he's going to leave you in free agency and you traded a second. Mm-hmm. For what? For a playoff exit? Like, does he get you to a conference championship as opposed to a divisional round exit? Doubt it. I never liked that trade. I think it's a fair criticism. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRNP listener line. Rudy, you're in with the Jays. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, man. Hey, I know it's early, but just from a far-off distance, and I know I'm looking at, they just don't look better on the offensive side. I'm not talking about the defense. I mean, but how many years have the Texans wasted good defenses and not been able to deliver on the offense? It just looks like the same old story. And this is the thing I'll just throw out as something wild, is I think if they don't have a good year and don't make the playoffs, and that's a possible start known, that I think they ought to trade C.J. Stroud to the Rams. He wants to live out west anyway. And let's get some stuff. Let's get some draft picks and get like Puka Nacua and somebody else on the offensive side in a trade. Let him go where he wants to go, because he's not the guy.
All right. Appreciate
the call, Rudy. Dallas Cowboys
fan. Appreciate you. We got to go to break. Sorry.
I was like hooked until you said Puka.
It was a reach to trade CJ. Like, I'm not ready to entertain CJ Stroud, you know, trade him conversations. Like, let's see what this season looks like, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we can certainly talk about it. 0-2 start, how's his play, all that. Trading him right now is kind of silly. But I was willing to entertain that because he is due for a contract extension. Like, do you want to pay Brock Purdy $60 million? Like, you know, I think it is a fair conversation for the offseason, potentially, depending on how the year goes. But when he mentioned Puka Nacua, that's where he lost me. Why would the Rams trade Puka Nacua?
Yeah.
They're not trading Puka Nacua, who's the most underrated receiver in the NFL.
I don't understand how he's still underrated. If CJ's traded, it's because CJ wants to be traded, not because the Texans want to trade him.
And look, we talked about this before the season started. We talked about it when Micah Parsons got traded, because he has the same agent as Micah Parsons. But he doesn't have a whole, like, in negotiations, it's always about having somebody over the barrel, right? Like, Micah Parsons had the Cowboys over the barrel. Deshaun Watson had the Texans over the barrel until all the sexual misconduct allegations. Allegedly, C.J. Stroud, if he plays like this the rest of the year, has nobody over the barrel. They have him over the barrel. But that, again, that stuff is going to, you know, work its way out. 713-780-3776. But the Rams would not trade Puka Nacua for C.J. Stroud. They just wouldn't. All right, Kaylee performance, Stroud, more thoughts on that, your thoughts on that. So many plays in that game yesterday, too, swung the outcome. Because, look, there was a lot of plays where, even as poorly as the Texans played, they could have very easily won that game. 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First Amendment on Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. And pretty soon, you're going to be wishing it was basketball season, potentially. A tempered glass backboard, though, from these goals from Pro Dunk, gives you that true, authentic, sincere, genuine feel. It's friendlier than a friend, quite frankly, that tempered glass backboard. A stainless steel hardware, it's height adjustable, it's rust proof, which, humid in Houston, that's a necessity. They got a breakaway rim on that sucker, too, and you can lower it all the way down from 5 feet to 10 feet. That's where that breakaway rim comes into play. You can lower it down, relive the glory days, relive the days that never existed, whatever it is for you. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill on Thor, their new goal, too. It's their lightning adjust feature. You can get anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. It's easy to do, it's fun to do, and it's idiot-proof for somebody like me. Their accessories are next level, too. The LED light kits for night play. It's hot during the day, you're at work, kids are at school, you want to play at night. Get the LED light kits, and you can do that. backstop nets. You don't want to chase the basketball around. I understand. Pull pad lettering and lots more with Pro Dunk. And you can order all of this, including professional installation online at ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. Order it all. Order the professional installation. You don't have to do it. The pros from Pro Dunk will do that. Perfect height, perfectly straight. And right now, if you call Pro Dunk and mention hearing this on ESPN, Branham sent you, you'll receive the Lightning Adjust Drill powered height adjustable feature for free. That's right, for free. It's a $249 value, installed for free as well. It helps you raise and lower the goal 10 times faster with zero effort. That sounds like it's for me. It should be for you too. $249 value, because I love you. Take advantage of this right now. 281-351-9822. 281-351-9822. Pro Dunk Hoops.
ESPN 97.5.